Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of I See Dead Pixels. It is your boy, Colt. How are you doing? I hope you've had a great week. I hope your weekend has been going fantastic. I hope you're ready to start this week like the warrior champion. I know you guys are. As far as me, I've been doing all right. Just, you know, really took this weekend and enjoyed myself. Played a lot of one game that I'll get into talk about later on. I'm doing good. If you haven't had the chance yet, please go ahead and hop onto your favorite podcasting app, which you should already be using right now for this podcast, and go ahead and give a follow and start listening to For My Future Therapist, which is the other podcast that I listen to, or that I create, not listen to. Where I mainly just talk about, that, I don't know, whatever's on my mind and whatever the hell's going on that day. But enough of that. How's your video gaming experience been going lately? Has it been going good? I hope so. Right now, we don't really have a question of the day. I forgot to ask. Totally honest. Gonna be on me. My fault. I apologize. So we're gonna go ahead and skip that, and we're gonna move on. Now, normally, ladies and gentlemen, as you guys know, I normally hop into what I've been playing at this point of time. We're gonna save that to the end, because I feel like that is going to be the deeper conversation of today. We're gonna go ahead and hop into a couple things on the news that I think is noteworthy in the video game hemisphere, and kind of talk about that, get through that for, you know, 5-6 minutes, and then we'll move on and go to what I've been talking about, or what I've been playing. Relatively shorter episode, but I think this is going to be interesting, because it's stuff that I've really kind of fallen in love with. So let's go ahead and let's take a quick little water break. Stay hydrated. Cheers. All right, let's get into it. So, also, if you hear something in the background, I'm sure you might, let me see, dead air. Okay, so you might not see it, or you might not hear it. I have my 3D printer running in the background, and so you might hear the motors or the fans, but anyways, that's what it is. Apologies, won't happen again. I had to get some things printed. Anyways, first up on the gaming news, let's go ahead and pull up the old lovely websites. First big thing I want to talk about is recently the CEO of Unity came out and talked about that players should kind of forget about the idea of owning their games. I believe what he kind of meant was you're not really going to get physical releases in an actual disc anymore. I think it's all going to be digital. Going in and doing a little bit more digging. Ubisoft has released a Ubisoft Plus, which is kind of like a subscription service with like Game Pass. Every other company has it now, so it would make sense that they eventually would do it with their games. I think he made that announcement to kind of push the Ubisoft Plus thing. I think he did it, you know, like everyone else who's trying to get in there with an interview and be headline worthy. Do I really think at the end of the day they're going to get rid of physical games? No, I don't think so. I think we're still going to be buying physical CDs, whatever, game cartridges, whatever the heck it's going to be 10 years from now. Do I agree with that? No. I do not have space for these. I understand the everyone's issues with not having physical, which I'll get into in a little bit. Personally, it's just so much easier to have a digital copy. I can sit in my bed and switch through games, you know, from my TV, from my PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, Steam, whatever it is, without having to get up and physically change it. Plus, again, you don't really have to store that box anywhere. But at the end of the day, I don't think it's actually going to go away. Now, what I find personally interesting is why they haven't gone away yet. Because when you look at it, let's say you go out and buy the newest game and it's $70. You know, you go into Best Buy, Walmart, GameStop, wherever, and you buy it. You're going to get it you're going to pay $70 for that box with that CD with the game on it, etc. If you go log into PlayStation or Microsoft, Steam, whatever your gaming platform of choice is, and you go buy the game, it is still going to be $70. The thing is, they're not making those CDs or getting the plastic for those game boxes for free. So they're technically losing a little bit of money, in my eyes, by selling physical copies. And I think that's why a lot of companies, like the CEO of Ubisoft, is pushing of, oh, you're not going to own your games anymore because physical media is going to go out the window. Well, it's going to go out the window because they're trying to prep you, because they want to stop losing out of that little extra money that they make on just selling it digitally without having to pay to put it on a physical device and give it to you. Do I think that has anything to do with like, oh, you know, now we can take it off the servers and you'll never be able to have it again? No, I think it's purely they do not want to continue basically paying that little overhead fee, so to speak, for that game. Reason being is when I first got my Switch and they had the Nintendo eShop, I had never bought a digital game in my life. My biggest question back then was, why are these games not cheaper? Because they are technically making more money on it versus if I go into Best Buy and buy the physical copy for the reasons that I've already said. And I am kind of starting to see now the reason why is because they didn't want to lose money or break even more on that. Although the thing is, they should have, because then that would have gotten people to adopt the digital realm a lot faster, in my opinion. I think they are trying to do this, but it's not going to be successful. Unless they start offering some sort of discount to doing a digital-only version. Because everyone kind of sees that, and you already have the gaming population against you on the whole fact that you're not owning the game anymore. Coming out and then saying, well, you're never really going to own games, you might as well give up on it, you're not really doing yourself a service. I don't know what you were kind of thinking of that. Alongside that whole argument and discussion that I just kind of mentioned is the discussion of everyone now having their own subscription-based service. This was something that you kind of should have seen coming. And again, I don't understand why this wasn't adopted faster. I don't understand how gaming companies, like Microsoft, let me put it this way. I feel like Microsoft Game Pass was the Netflix of game subscriptions. They came out first. They were, you know, for lack of a better word, sorry kids, the big swinging dick that really had the industry in this new realm of, hey, we'll just buy games or we'll license, you know, third parties, indie games, plus throw out our own games on there and charge people the subscription, just like Netflix did. It's kind of interesting to see how long Game Pass was going, much like how long Netflix went on before things like Hulu came out or things like the PlayStation Now came out or, you know, et cetera. And everyone kind of just started building off their own little subscriptions. What I foresee happening here is I think the PlayStations and the Microsofts and all those are going to start losing the game content that they currently have and what is helping, you know, at least GameStop keep that subscription base going or subscription population, amount of subscriptions going, because much like you log into Netflix, you're not going to really be able to see a lot of Sony produced things or a lot of HBO produced things. Why is that? Well, because HBO Max looked at it and said, screw this, we can just make our own subscriptions. We don't need to license this out to anyone else. We can just put it on our own platform. Same thing with Hulu and Fox, and same thing with Disney, same thing with all of that. None of those now mix and match. They used to, when it was just Netflix, a little bit of Hulu, and that was it. They don't do that anymore. What's going to be interesting, ladies and gentlemen, is what kind of bundles do you think we are going to eventually get? Much like, now again, this is a little bit different because these three companies are owned by the same parent company, but much like the Disney Plus, the Hulu, and the ESPN Plus bundle, you pay for essentially two subscription services and you get all three, you know, one free basically. What do you think is going to happen with video games? Because I could totally see a lot of companies like Ubisoft pairing with, hey, a Sony or a Microsoft and deciding that, you know what, from now on, we're going to draw this line in the sand. We are never going to allow their game on this other platform. We are bundling it with this other company. And that company is going to pay, like Microsoft, buku bucks, who, as we all have seen the last few couple months, maybe even a year, they are willing to pay out of pocket immensely to buy up companies and IPs and development companies, publishers, etc. It's going to be interesting to see if that really happens. Now, what that means is, I think, if they do start to go that way, you are going to see a lot more console-exclusive games. You are not going to see Assassin's Creed on every single platform anymore. Do I think that that's going to happen? I kind of doubt it because I don't see that really winning in their favor unless companies like Microsoft pay $30 million to the company for this. What will be interesting, though, is how many other subscription-based rights the player will be able to start getting in. And I think it's going to do well for the bigger, you know, first-party and third-party companies like Ubisoft, Sony, and Microsoft, Bethesda. Well, Bethesda's are now owned by Microsoft, but you know what I mean. Those big companies. What's going to get really interesting, and I think someone needs to eventually make, is some sort of subscription-based service for indie games. And see how, if they can get in a massive library of just indie games, you pay a subscription. I think there's going to be a ton of people that want to get that. And I think that that's also something that, you know, the, for example, Hollow Knight developers, while they make a great game, I think they kind of would get ignored by the place, the Sonys or the Microsofts or the Nintendos of the world from the big three. And I think because you're only giving me one game every 10 years, it's understandable. But my point is, once we see an indie subscription service and really kind of take back away from the companies and the corporations, I think there's going to be a very interesting boom. Right now, I think that a lot of this is just kind of a nothing burger. I mean, they really did this to announce Ubisoft's subscription service. We knew eventually that was going to happen. The indie games are that little gold mine, that little vein, diamond in the rough, as you might say, that I think a lot of people are forgetting, and I think Microsoft is kind of taking advantage of by throwing them on Game Pass, personally. Yeah, hopefully we see someone kind of take up that subscription-based plan and only service indie games. We'll see. We'll see. I might be talking crazy. You guys might think I'm wrong. If you do think I'm wrong, though, go ahead and shameless plug, pop into the Discord. You know, come say hello, tell me I'm wrong. Come find me on Twitter, ColtBooze45. Come find the Discord on there. Just let me know I'm wrong. I'm interested to hear everyone's points. If you're already in the Discord, please go ahead and let me know in the episode discussions channel, and yeah, we'll go from there. But that kind of closes out my thoughts on that topic. It's going to get interesting. It's going to get real interesting, or it's going to be nothing at all. No real in between, in my opinion. After that, we've got another little interesting thing. Now, remember, towards the end of last year, there was a lot of companies that were starting to do layoffs, and there were a lot of tech companies. You know, maybe they might not have been solely gaming, but there was gaming adjacent companies like Sony and Microsoft again, where they laid off, you know, 20,000 people at a time, and it was all interesting. But you could kind of understand it because they got rid of the COVID order. They, you know, lost a lot of extra money. People were working from home. I get it. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I get it. What's gotten real interesting here is we are, what is it? It is the 21st of January. So we are 21 days in. And there are quite a few companies that have essentially laid off over 3,500 employees just in the video game industry. Now, I'm not going to go through every single little game developer because we probably might not know them. I kind of looked through a lot of it, and so to my knowledge, none of the names really stood out massive. What did stand out though is probably about three or four companies. First company that I'm kind of interested is the fact that Discord laid off 170 people. Pretty small, but it's about 70% of their, or 17, sorry, 17% of their total staff. Interesting. They do already have it all kind of set up, so I can understand why they don't need as many people. But interesting nonetheless, where that kind of went. The next one that's really fun is Twitch laid off 500 people, which is considered 35% of its total staff, back in January 9th. What the heck? Twitch is, well, number one, that's 35%. That's almost 50% of their total staff. So you're telling me they have, like, originally, what, 1,500 people, give or take? Yeah, that's about right on the money. 1,500 employees for the largest, arguably, the largest game streaming platform. Kind of interesting. Kind of want to understand why. Especially since they've been bought out by Amazon. It's not like they don't have money for all these people. Why'd they do this massive layoff? Before that, they even laid off hundreds of employees in March of last year, as well as October last year. So what the hell is going on? Are they trying to just downsize it and become Amazon Watch instead of Twitch? I don't really know. That's kind of interesting. It's going to be interesting to see where this all goes. And it's not like Twitch is perfect by any means. Definitely has a lot of faults. And now a lot of the faults are kind of a moderation thing, but I don't really understand where they're kind of going with this. Is it, like I said, are they kind of trying to shrink it and subsidize it to become something else that's, like I said, Amazon TV? I don't really know. Crazy. Biggest one here that I want to talk about. And this company has been in the news for a while these last few months, is Unity Software. Unity Software released 1,800 people in January 8th. That is 25% of its staff. This is considered part of a continued reset of the company, so that means we're probably going to see more come out. But this is also reportedly by Bloomberg the largest round of layoffs the software's company history has ever seen, and it'll be complete at the end of March. Really interesting, especially when people are looking for Unity 6 now to come out. It's either 5 or 6. I apologize. As someone who uses Unity for game development, I don't get it. as you guys know, probably, the last time Unity really hit the front page of the news was when they talked about charging people they were charging people after 2 million people downloaded it. They were starting to charge per person. And the world went upside down on it. And then they walked that back and said that they listened, they heard everyone, and they were going to fix it. Apparently their fix was to release 1,800 people. I don't know. Kind of crazy. But furthermore, with all that, all the other companies, and again, these all look like smaller companies to me, that are doing all these layoffs, it kind of makes you step back and look and wonder, you know, we had Power World release interest in, you know, recently. We had Prince of Persia release. We haven't really had a lot of other game releases, guys. And we don't really have a lot coming up on the table. What the hell is happening with video games? Why is there less people trying to create things when they couldn't even create things with the more people that they had? Are they looking for new people with ideas? I don't know. We're in a weird, uncharted waters territory again. And I know I've said that probably every year so far, but it's odd. Maybe big companies don't see it as profitable to release games. I mean, look at GTA. They were able to ride GTA 5's coattails for years. Right, what, 10 years? Just releasing GTA Online DLC or whatever every, you know, so often. I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of wondering what I'm going to be playing in March. Well, nah, I know what I'm going to be playing in March, but I'm kind of wondering what new stuff is going to be coming out here soon. And I don't really know how this is all going to play out. You're cutting people, but you're still not bringing anything to the table. Are you trying to find... What are you trying to find? What are you trying to cut the fat of? Are you just trying to weather the storm? I don't know. That's definitely weird. But hopefully those people who all got laid off will find new jobs and continue creating great things. I don't really know. It's interesting. You know, other things on the news. Another interesting thing, kind of like back to the whole Microsoft thing. Halo Infinite has finished off with seasons, and they're going to double down on free operations and skins and all that like instead. A lot of games are going this direction. Totally understand why. Hopefully that keeps going for them. Not total video game news, but interesting nonetheless. Alec Baldwin got indicted on federal charges in relation to the shooting at the Rust film. Have fun, big guy. I think that's it's really basically it as far as news that I want to talk about. One big thing, and this is we'll kind of, you know, I'll use this to move into the next topic. Power World, which was released Friday. Today is Sunday. In the first 8 hours, sold 1 million copies. In the first 24 hours, they sold 2 million copies. And apparently so far, their servers can't keep up with all of the players and the player base that they have. Good for them, you know, honestly. They're currently Steam's best-selling game. They've passed over 350,000 concurrent users at a time. Hey, keep going. But that's going to get into what we're going to talk about. Before that, though, friends, let's go ahead and take one more sip of water, refuel, rehydrate, keep going. Okay, thank you. What I've been playing. So last week I started playing Marvel's Midnight Suns. I know I'm late to that. Very fun game, I must say. It was a game that I could foresee playing a lot of hours, you know, at a time. For those that don't know, it's a Marvel story mode about the Midnight Suns. It's a group. And this game is a card-based combat game, so to speak. Super fun. The story's been great. I've loved seeing all the characters. Marvel stuff, in my opinion, is just flat-out fun, you know. I thought I was going to play that a ton. What I did not realize, ladies and gentlemen, is the other game that has really put a halt to that. As I said earlier, Pal World released on Friday. While I was at work, I logged into my Steam app, hit that purchase button, and downloaded it to my Steam Deck. And it is now, for reference, 8 p.m. on Sunday. I have logged in about 15 to 20 hours so far. I have been playing this game so much, and it is insane. Let's kind of just go over a few things. So for those that don't know and are living underneath a rock, Pal World is this game that was announced a couple years ago and was essentially like a direct ripoff, let's say, to Pokemon and some of the monsters. I understand where people are coming from. My only argument to all of this is take a look at what Pokemon did compared to, or to Dragon Quest that came out 10 years before it. I don't really have a lot of sympathy toward it. Logging into this game, I thought it was going to be a story mode. And okay, essentially, the game is you have monsters all throughout the world. It's kind of like an open world thing. In my thoughts, it was an open world game. All of the pals, they're called, instead of Pokemon or monsters. All the pals are out. You can catch them, use them for battles, use them in your camp to help do jobs, etc. Or instead of using them to battle, you could just whip out a club or even an AK-47 and shoot the other pals to weaken them so you can catch them. Don't know how this hasn't been a lawsuit by Nintendo. I'm going to guess that there isn't going to be a lawsuit by Nintendo at this point, because this game was announced 2-ish years ago, was part of this past year's Summer Games Fest, and was shown in a trailer and has been, you know, shown by IGN, posted on multiple people's or multiple news sites, social media, etc. It's not like this is a hidden game that some indie developer created and Nintendo never got word of it. So the fact that Nintendo must know about this game and they either just didn't care or they tried and it didn't work, I think this game's going to be around to stay. It's $27. So far, best $27 I've spent in 2024. What I thought the game was, like I said, was a story mode where you went through and caught them and did all that stuff, much like Pokemon. I was wrong. What it is you log in, you join the world, and it's an open, or it's a survival world, much like Minecraft or Valheim, and you go through and you build your base, and you keep traveling, catch all the pals, craft stuff, you know, etc., and you kind of start building a whole farm of self-sufficiency, of growing berries or, you know, getting wool, chopping trees, etc. And your little pals can do those jobs for you while you're gone. So it's a little bit of an automation aspect to it. It was definitely a little bit of a shock to the system with that. It was a good shock to the system. Like I said, I've spent a lot of time so far on this game. I know I'm going to spend a lot more time on it. And even the time that I did spend, it felt like I sat down just to watch a movie for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and that was it. It did not feel like 15 hours. That time flew by. There's a lot of menial tasks of, like, collecting wood or crafting fences, stuff like that, that definitely takes up some time. But this game is super fun. Where this game is really fun is you can either purchase a server through them or have your own dedicated server on your machine, and you can have up to 32 people in your world with you in your server. You send it out via invite code. Everyone can hop in. More fun with that is you can even steal other people's pals and catch them. Much like Team Rocket. I think this game is a ton of fun, honestly. It's out on Xbox Game Pass for PC as well. Or like I said, you can buy it for $27. It's early access. It's the first weekend. There were definitely some slight graphic issues I've ran into. But again, it's early access. I know these things are going to happen. I don't really care. I think that at the end of the day, they're going to get smoothed out quick, and that's fine. Some of the issues that I have. Number one, much like Valheim and not like Minecraft, there's only really one, for lack of a better word, or for the people who are more knowledgeable, there's only one seed world that you load into. My issue with that is you don't really have a lot of opportunity to, I think, replay or load into a new world and go have fun. Much like Minecraft, you can kind of load into a new seed and kind of figure out your survival from there. And the world map is different in each of those instances. This one, there's only just the one. I think it's going to get old quick. I know it's going to get old quick because I've done three so far. And I'm like, I wish I could start somewhere else, personally. One other thing that I think is kind of going to need to be addressed here is currently there's, correct me if I'm wrong, 111 pals so far. And they're not like, they don't, to my knowledge so far, I should say, they don't really evolve into other pals. It's kind of just there's a set of 111 monsters that you can catch and whatnot. I think that number needs to grow. I think within 3 weeks, a lot of people have caught all of those. They've kind of gone through the world. They've done their survival. There's no real, to my knowledge, I should say, there's no real like end game stuff. I think they're going to get bored with it. I think for this game to succeed, the creators of Pal World, I think it's called like Pixie Art or something, need to come up with DLC. Come up with new monsters. Come up with new ways that you can join the world in random spots in order to help that kind of replayability factor. At that point, I think that this game will succeed 100%. And it will be successful. And I think all the press and the news and the Pokemon stuff will just help it even more. With all that being said, though, I'm still having an insane amount of fun with this. It's such a fun time. I'm trying to figure out how to set up a dedicated server on my separate laptop or even just my main machine so I could, you know, load in that. We could have 32 people in there, build a whole village, guild, whatever, what have you, and just have fun with it. I have been playing it on my Steam Deck this whole time. I know it says this, it's playable on Steam Deck. I have personally not had any issues with Steam Deck, and it's been going well. It's been going great. Definitely think that this is a game that's worth picking up and trying out. We could get an ISDP server going. We can all hop in, have fun, and explore those pals and those worlds, biomes, whatever, what have you, together. I think it'll be a great time. So definitely, if you guys are interested in that, reach out in the Discord and let me know. But I think for $27, this game you should definitely pick up and at least try. I think you will be thoroughly surprised, like I was. I was already looking forward to this game and excited. Playing it this weekend made me even more excited and hopeful to kind of see where this goes in the future. I think the only fall or the only devil's advocate to this will be if the developers stop caring and don't really do anything else with it. Only reason I say that is I'm a little concerned because apparently the developers are already starting to work on a Hollow Knight clone and made an announcement that he doesn't care about originality and will continue to do this. Not sure if that means he's already moved on and has put Pal World in the back of his mind. Who knows? It's still early access. We're still brand new and fresh into this. We're only a couple days old. Let's see what happens. But yeah, that's all I got for you guys so far today. I hope this was enjoyable. I hope for the people that do hop in on Pow World, hit me up, let me know on Twitter or Discord, and we could set something up to play. It would be a great fun time. This could be a nice little community night as well, to be able to all go in and start building in our guild together and building a giant mansion and guns for our sheep monsters. I almost said Pokemon. Our sheep monsters. And yeah, have fun with that. But yeah, that is all, everyone. Thank you guys for another episode of Icy Dead Pixels. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking around. Please, please rate it. Let me know what you think. If you guys have thoughts, hit me up on Discord. Hit me up on Twitter. Again, I would like to apologize if you guys can hear the 3D printer whirring around in the background. Won't happen next episode. Like I said, I just had to get some things printed for the old girlfriend there. But yeah, I hope everyone has a great night. I hope you guys have a great week. And I hope you guys go out there and crush it. And just want to let you guys know, I'm very proud of you all. Good job. Thank you, guys. Have a good one. Peace.